Bobby was in grade two, and he was entering his first science fair. And because his mom had a green thumb, they decided to experiment with growing plants. So Bobby took two plants. One, he just put in the planter by the windowsill where there was lots of light coming in. And the second plant, he put into a box and put it right next to the other plant. Well, as the weeks progressed, the one plant was doing wonderfully well. But then Bobby looked into the plant that was in the box and he was dismayed to see that, well, it wasn't really growing. And only was it not growing, it was also losing its color, that kind of vibrant green that should have been there, like the other plant, was kind of becoming, well, kind of like a pale white. And so Bobby had an idea. He was going to take some scissors or a knife, and he was going to cut a hole in an opening, and then he was going to place the plant so that it could turn towards the light. And lo and behold, was Bobby ever excited, because within a week, that plant was beginning to work its way through the box and coming out of the hole and directing itself towards the sun. And then another week passed, and lo and behold, that plant was becoming more and more and more alive. The plant that had been in gloom and darkness, that was all but dead, had been able to see a great light. And as it turned towards that light, it blossomed. This story is illustrative of the theme at play in today's readings from Isaiah and the Gospel. And you need to appreciate something about the time in which Isaiah the prophet was writing. It was around the year 722 BC. And at this time, the dominant world power were the Assyrians. In the history of the people of God, by 722, there were two kingdoms. There was Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And the northern kingdom of Israel had 10 tribes. Have you heard of the 10 lost tribes? Well, these were them. And these 10 lost tribes became lost after the Assyrian conquest. The Assyrian conquest was, well, kind of like what Russia is doing in Ukraine today. The dominant country coming in and bombarding the people of Israel. Homes destroyed, people displaced, people killed. And one of the things that resulted from this was that the 10 tribes were then dispersed among the Gentiles. The first two tribes to experience this exile were known as Zebulun and Naphtali. And so these tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, were sent amongst the nations. But Isaiah has a vision where he says the people who were walking in darkness, and you can understand the darkness, that they were under the domination of this very powerful country, on them a light has shone. And so what is this light? Enter today's gospel. Remember I said Assyria happened around the year 722 BC. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, the people were looking forward to the day when the prophecy of Isaiah would be fulfilled. And that's where the gospel comes into play. Because here, Jesus is going to speak. Jesus is going to do something. This is the Sunday where we start reading consecutively through Matthew's gospel, which we will do throughout this year. And of the Gospels, Matthew is the Gospel that is most Jewish. Matthew is the Gospel that refers to the Old Testament more than Mark, Luke, or John. And what we see in today's Gospel is something of great importance. St. Matthew is telling us here that Jesus is now beginning his public ministry. And as he begins his public ministry, he leaves his hometown of Nazareth to go to Capernaum, the very place where the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali had gone into exile. And as St. Matthew establishes Jesus here, he now quotes from the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. On those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, we are not first century Jews, so we have trouble appreciating the power of these words. But for those who first read these words from Matthew's gospel, they would have known Isaiah 9. And they would recognize that now something is happening in the person of Jesus where the light is dawning. A new day is coming. And then, having quoted Isaiah, the very next thing that Matthew does is he has this verse. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now remember what Isaiah had said. People who had been walking in darkness, on them a great light had dawned. What is that light? It is the Word. The Catechism says that all 73 books of the Bible are one word. And that one word is a person, Jesus Christ. And so St. Matthew wants us to understand that the light that is dawning is the Word Jesus Christ. And how appropriate it is on this Sunday when we celebrate the Word of God that this is the gospel that we have read for us today. But Jesus doesn't only embody the Word, he says that he wants us to repent. And remember, I've mentioned this before, the word repentance doesn't mean that you've been really, really bad and now you've got to be really, really good. The word repentance means to have a change of mind, to see the world with new eyes, with a new perspective, with a new understanding. And so what we see and understand by this verse is the following. As we come to a deepening love of Jesus, who is the one word, as we come to a deepening love of the scriptures, which Dei Verbum says that we venerate, as we venerate the body of Christ, then something happens in our lives. We come to see things with a new perspective. The world always has those influencers who are at work that would have us to believe that there is no light, all is darkness. And when we have a tendency to buy into this message, all can be lost. We seem to be kind of like the tribes that are amongst the Gentiles. We lose a sense of our true identity. We are absorbed into the nations, the countries around us. How easily this can happen for us, I think particularly today in a world of virtual reality. These kind of things that happen today where you're on your phone minding your own business and then something pops up here, it tries to distract us, it tries to invite us in to this quagmire of confusion and a way of sensing that, well, where am I? We can lose our bearings, we can lose our moorings. And so what today we want to celebrate is something of such importance. That amidst all of the news that we have around us, Jesus proclaims his kingdom. He proclaims the news of what it is to be his people. And so this is what we want to sort of see. Jesus wants our lives more and more to be characterized by a love of him, a love of his word, and that our eyes and our minds are being informed by his truth and his love. And so I want to ask you this question. How would you say this is for you? Are you discovering more and more what it is to see his kingdom amidst the land of gloom and darkness in which we live? As we do see this more and more, something else happens. We learn to discover that we do not need to be captured by the culture, by the society in which we live. Rather, we, like Peter and Andrew, James and John, hear a word that we're being called. And the word called ties in with the word vocation. Our vocation, our calling as Christian people. And when this happens, we have an awakening to see that we want Jesus to be more and more central in our lives. St. Augustine once put it this way. If you have God, you have everything. Even if you don't have anything else. But if you have everything else, but you don't have God, you have nothing at all. Let me read that one more time. If you have God, you have everything, even if you don't have anything else. And if you have everything else, but you don't have God, you have nothing at all. St. Augustine spoke from his own experience. In his younger life, he had everything else. He was the speechwriter for the emperor. He was at the top of his game. But on the inside, he was empty. He was sad. His life was meaningless. And then in his early 30s, he came to a conversion and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so he could say, now that I know Jesus, that's the one thing that matters. We sang that psalm to that beautiful setting this evening. And one of the things we sang in that psalm were these words, one thing I ask of the Lord. He doesn't ask for many things. The psalmist asks for one thing, God himself. You've heard of Thomas Aquinas before? Thomas Aquinas, who wrote what is perhaps the greatest theological treatise ever, the Summa Theologiae. It's millions of words long, thousands of pages. And when he had concluded writing it, his confessor heard Jesus speak from the crucifix to St. Thomas and say this to St. Thomas, St. Thomas, you have written well of me. You can imagine, millions of words. Yeah, he had. And then Jesus says, Thomas, what would you ask of me? What do you want in return? And this is Thomas's answer. Only yourself, Lord. Only yourself, Lord. Of the millions of words that St. Thomas wrote, these three were the wisest. Only yourself, Lord. When we learn to say this, only yourself, Lord, something happens in our lives. We desire to live them out. We're inspired to respond to Jesus's call so that we can discover more fully who we are and whose we are. And do you know what happens in the lives of people who are discovering this? Their lives are infused with joy. Father Mike Schmitz has a beautiful definition of joy that I want to share with you now. He asks the question, what is joy? And this is the answer. Joy is a choice. It's a choice like love. We can either chase the feelings and all that the world entices and presents to us, or we can choose the reality of living in the light. Joy comes from the fact that you know that God is here, that you are known by God and loved by him. The Christian life is a pursuit of the one who loved us first, the one whom we find our great and true joy. Now, to cultivate this joy, to learn to live this way that we are living like that plant in relation to the light, leads us to want to spend time with the Lord. St. Francis de Sales, who wrote a book called The Devout Life, had an understanding of how important it is to cultivate time with the light. He lived in Geneva. Geneva at the time when Calvinism was dominating that city, and he was a Catholic bishop. Interestingly, during his time as the bishop of Geneva, 70,000 people reconverted to Catholicism because of the way in which he was able to embody the light of Catholic teaching in a way that it attracted people to the Lord Jesus and his church. And he, St. Francis de Sales, speaks about the way in which we are to cultivate an attitude of prayerfulness throughout the day. And these are a couple of things that he proposes for us. As soon as you wake up in the morning, says St. Francis de Sales, turn to the Lord. Thank him for another day. Dedicate this day to him and ask his help to live this one day in a way that is pleasing to him. Take time for personal prayer, spiritual reading. Can I recommend this book? It is called The Word Among Us. The Word Among Us has the mass readings for every day of the week. And then the other thing it has is a short meditation that you can read in under 2 minutes. I find these meditations profoundly helpful and inspiring. I love this book. And when I'm saying mass at home, I don't make up my own homily. I read what's here. And does it ever speak to my heart? The other thing that the Word Among Us has is three or four articles on the interior life, on our life of prayer, our life of living as a Christian. What a great resource this is. You can get it in the office. You can actually order it online so you have it on your phone. Or if you wanted to, you could have the hard copy mailed to you. This is the February edition. We have about 10 copies left. If you want to phone Renee on Tuesday and say, can you put one aside for me? Get on that phone early because they're going to go quickly. Great resource. This is a way to help you with that spiritual reading that St. Francis de Sales speaks of. And it becomes something that's then part of our life. Now, for many of us, you can't do this, but when you can, to be able to come to a weekday Mass, to be able to attend Mass, maybe if you can't come in person, online. Share in Eucharistic adoration. As I've said before, we now have adoration every Friday morning. That's, again, not possible for many people. But then on Saturday morning, and it's adoration light. It's only half an hour. You come to Mass, and then we have adoration from 10 after 9 until 9:40. This time to be with the Eucharistic Lord and the people of God. And then here's the last thing St. Francis de Sales says, which I think is quite lovely. He writes, withdraw into the cell of our souls periodically throughout the day and remember the Lord, to be aware of his presence and to speak to him. We can do this even in the midst of busy activities. Always remember to retire at various times into the solitude of your own heart, even while outwardly engaged in discussions or transactions with others. What a lovely image, to withdraw into the solitude of your own heart. Now, I know people, because we live in the age of the phone, this is very hard for us to do. Please put the phone down. Turn it off. Take a few minutes to be still in that place of solitude, to be recollected. And it's my hope for you and for me that as we cultivate this intentional way of prayer, to follow the example of this master of prayer, St. Francis de Sales, we will become ever more like the psalmist, like St. Thomas, St. Augustine. Only you, Lord, this is what I desire. And when this happens increasingly, then like the light that touched the plant in the box, we will be enabled to grow and to blossom. For in the darkness of this world, we are directed towards the great light, the one word that God speaks. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord.